seated. It's good to look out into the congregation today and see that God is adding to the church. You know, the Bible says God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I look out there and I see those who have recently been baptized in the name of Jesus and who have received the Holy Ghost, those that have come to repentance. Amen. It cheers my heart. It lifts my spirit. The Bible says that the angels of God rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. Amen. If angels of heaven can rejoice over one, amen, I believe that God's church ought to rejoice today. Hallelujah, over those that God is adding to the kingdom of heaven. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is a God that adds and multiplies. And the devil likes to subtract and to divide. But I want you to know, amen, that we are not, amen, in the subtracting and dividing business. Amen. God wants to add to the church. God wants to multiply, amen, our strength. Amen. God wants to multiply His blessings. Amen. If we will give unto God, amen, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that we're not able to even receive. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God for His blessings are without limit. He wants to bless us sometimes more than we are able to even visualize. Amen. Brother Calk preached, amen, that it's a matter of getting our mind in tune with God. Amen. We've got just a short time this morning. Amen. But I believe that we can condense, amen, an hour and a half into about 20 minutes this morning. And if we set our mind, amen, to reaching out and touching God today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not how long we tarry in His presence, but we need to come into the presence of God this morning. Hallelujah. If we don't come into the presence of God today, we're going to leave here empty. We're going to leave here weak. Amen. But if we come into the presence of God, we can leave this house today knowing that God has been with us. Amen. That we don't face our battles alone. And we don't face tomorrow, amen, without hope. Hallelujah. Would you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged today. Amen. Of what I see and what I hear. Amen. But more than that, I am encouraged because of what the Word of God says. Amen. Whether I see or whether I hear. Amen. We might be blind that we cannot see. We might be deaf that we cannot hear. Amen. But that's not going to stop, amen, the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. Hallelujah. God, amen, has a purpose and God has got a plan today. And I want to, amen, to enter into His presence. You have your Bibles today, and you would stand. We're just going to briefly read from Numbers chapter 26. And for our booth, our sound booth, our sermon title this morning is just briefly entitled, The Census. And that's why we're going to the book of Numbers, because we're talking about a census. Numbers 26 and verse 1 through verse 4. And then we're going to go also to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel. In other words, I want you to take a census. From 20 years old and upward, throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. Verse 3, And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, spake with them in the plains of Moab by Jordan, near Jericho, saying, take the sum of the people from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, which went out of the land of Egypt. Praise the Lord. And then to Deuteronomy chapter 4. You have your Bible, go to Deuteronomy and chapter 4, verse 1, and also through verse 4. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that it's a blessing to be numbered among the people of the Lord. Right. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord today. Oh, thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for your anointing. Thank you, God, for your blessing. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, minister to us today, Lord, in the house of the Lord, and we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Now, the Lord told Moses, he said, I want you to take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward, by their fathers' houses, all who are able to go to war. God, amen, knows them that are His. I'm glad that God knows the people, that God knows those that belong to Him. Amen. It is a blessing today to be numbered among the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The disciples came back from a mission, and they began to tell of the things that God had done, and how that miracles and signs and wonders were performed in His name. But Jesus said, don't glory in these things. But He said, rather rejoice in that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. There's something about being numbered among the redeemed. Amen. That ought to cause us, amen, to have joy in our heart. I'm thankful today that I'm of the number. Hallelujah. That I've been chosen, amen, to serve the Lord my God. Now, the United States of America has conducted a national census every 10 years ever since 1790. The first census of the United States, there were only a little over 4 million people in the entire nation that we call America. Today, America is one of the greater nations of the world. Over 300 million people that have been numbered among the 50 states that we call the United States of America. We don't get excited about a census. It's not something that we talk about a lot. Not something that we anticipate with a lot of joy. But a census is a necessary thing. For a census helps to define and describe just who we are as a people. Article 1 of the United States Constitution mandates that a census be taken every 10 years to determine the representation of the individual states. They use the census to allocate funds. They use the census, to study the trends in retail sales, in determining whether your city gets an IHOP or whether some other city is going to get an IHOP. They're going to use the census to determine how much federal money is going to be spent on education and welfare and all these different things. And so there are reasons that we have a census. But we who are a part of the number of the body of Christ, amen, we are numbered for a different reason. Amen. We don't number, we are not numbered in order that we might boast. We're not numbered that we might have an occasion to glory in the flesh. Amen. We're not numbered in order that we might trust in our own strength and our own resources. But we are numbered because we are a chosen people of God. Amen. We're numbered. Amen. Because God has a plan. And that plan is that His people should multiply. Amen. That we should fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is in the addition and multiplication business. Amen. I don't get excited when we have 25 and 30 in Sunday school. Amen. There's nothing wrong with 25 and 30 in Sunday school. Amen. If you're doing all that you know to do. Amen. If you are working in all that you have to work with. Amen. But I believe that God said, He said He wanted His house to be full. Hallelujah. Amen. Two or three might be gathered together and have the presence of God. And there's nothing wrong, amen, when God comes down in the midst, amen, of a little group of people and God begins to work. But I want you to know that God has a greater vision. Amen. That God has a higher purpose for the church of the living God. Amen. We don't boast of our numbers. Amen. We don't try. Amen. 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 To explode for number's sake. But God tells me in His Word that when He looked out, He saw a multitude that could not be numbered out of every nation and tongue. Amen. Who had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And I want you to know that God is in the business of multiplying and adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. When Israel came out of Egypt, God commanded Moses to take a census. And this is found in the beginning of the book of Numbers. I will always wonder why they called it the book of Numbers, because it's a book about census. It's a book about enumeration. Amen. And when they came out of Egypt in the second year, after they had come out of Egypt, God commanded Moses. He said, I want you to number the people, all of those that are 20 years old and upward and are able to go to war. And he numbered the people at the commandment of God. And this is what the Bible reveals, that there were 603,550 men that were able to handle a sword when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, I don't know how many there were to a household, but if there were four to a household, which is not inconceivable considering the number of children that they had in that day, in that era, that would be way over 2 million souls that God delivered out of the land of Egypt. It was no small number, amen, that God delivered out of Egypt. Amen. He set them on the way to the promised land. Amen. And then in the end of the book of Numbers, once again, God commanded another census to be taken. And this is the census that we read to you from the Word of God today in the 26th chapter of Numbers. Between the time of the first census and the time of the second census, 38 years had passed by. Now, after 38 years of time had passed by, one would expect, amen, that God would have surely added to the number. If you were in the same church for 38 years, you would certainly not expect to find the same number 38 years later that you found when you first started to that church. Can you say praise the Lord? I don't believe that we can ever be content, amen, for just the status quo. We can't be content with remaining static, but we must reach for a higher thing, a higher ground. We must desire, amen, the blessings of God upon us. 38 years had passed by, and there were a lot of things that had transpired. There was a lot of water under the bridge. Amen. They came to a place, the Bible says, shortly after the first census was taken. 2.5 million souls. 603,000 men that could carry a sword. And God said, it's time to go in and take the land. Amen. I believe that God, amen, raised up a church, amen, to carry this gospel to every creature. I believe that God intended for the church, amen, to have revival. That God, amen, wants to bless the church and add to our number. Amen. The Bible says of the Jerusalem church that it grew in number from 120 on the day of Pentecost. And I've read in some accounts that God was so good to the church in Jerusalem, and He had filled the city with its doctrine, that there were some 75,000 to 80,000, amen, who had responded to the gospel message. Amen. That's what I call having revival. That's what I call turning the world upside down. Amen. I don't know about you, but I serve a God that's able to shake this world to its foundation. Of a God that's able to multiply the work of God. He's able to give us a great harvest if we will just look toward heaven. Amen. And believe the promises of God. Amen. Say not yet 3 months and then cometh the harvest. Amen. We are so prone as human beings, amen, to believe that harvest time is just somewhere just ahead of us. It couldn't be now. Amen. Surely this couldn't be the day. Surely this isn't the day of salvation. Oh, just wait a little while. Oh, yet 3 months and then cometh the harvest. That's not what Jesus said. Amen. It's easy, amen, to get focused upon the future, that we forget about the present. Oh, I thank God for the future. And there's no church, amen, amen, that ought to be more excited about the future and the church of the living God. Amen. Because our future is bright. Amen. My Bible says that He could not number the multitude because they were like the sand of the seashore and like the stars of the heaven for number. But I don't believe that we have to wait, amen, for tomorrow to have the blessings of today. Hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Amen. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of revival. God said, I want you to go in and take possession of the land that I promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Instead of going in and taking the land, they said, we need to spy it out first. And so they chose them 12 men. And they went into the land of Canaan, the Bible says. And they went to a place called Eshcol. And in the valley of Eshcol, they found that there was an abundance of the blessings of God. And they took a bunch of grapes from the valley of Eshcol, and it took 2 men to carry it. Can you imagine a cluster of grapes that it took 2 men to carry? And they said it indeed. They came back to the children of Israel. They said it's indeed a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's everything that God said it was. But, hallelujah, I want you to know that there's never been a time, amen, where there was more potential than there is in this day. There's never been, amen, as many advantages for the church to proclaim the gospel as it is in this present day. Amen. We've got more available to us, more avenues, more resources, amen, and more money available today than any other time, amen, since you and I have been in this church. Come on now. Oh, I believe that the hour is now. Amen. The hour of revival is now. Amen. But they said, we can't take the land. Because there's giants in the land. There's great walled villages. And there's chariots of iron. And they caused the people. And they caused the people to faint. Because, amen, of the things that they told them. And they said, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. It's all a matter of the mind. If you think you can, God will enable you to take this mountain. If you think that you cannot, then you will never accomplish anything for God. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and he ought not think that God should do anything for him. But those that will hold on to the promises of God, those who will stand upon the truth of God's Word, will keep sowing the seed. They'll keep watering. Amen. Because God will give the increase if we will not faint. Hallelujah. If we don't get weary. Amen. God's going to send the harvest. Praise the Lord. And so Israel refused to enter into the land of Canaan because they doubted the Word of God. It wasn't that they could not. It was that they could not believe the promises of God. It's not that we cannot, amen, but if we cannot believe the promises of God, amen, God is able to raise up another people. God is able to raise up another generation, amen, that can go in and take possession of the promises that belong to His children. I don't want, amen, to postpone the revival that God wants to give to this generation, to some other generation in the future. Hallelujah. Amen. Why should we postpone revival unto another day to be enjoyed by another people? And Israel refused to enter the land. And because that they could not believe the promises of God, God's anger was stirred up against Israel. I'm going to hurry. Hallelujah. Amen. God became so angry. He told Moses, He said, Moses, if you'll just get out of the way, I will consume them in my wrath. And I am able to raise of you, I'm able to make of you a great nation for my name's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't think, amen, that just because you're of the number, amen, they had been numbered. Hallelujah, that they were the chosen of God. They had been delivered out of Egypt. They had seen miracles. They had seen signs. They had seen wonders. They had been fed manna from heaven. They had been given water out of a rock. But because they doubted the Word of God, God said, Moses, just get out of the way and I'll consume this people. Amen. And the Bible says that Moses began to intercede for the people. Thank God for pastors. Amen. That have a pastor's heart. Amen. Thank God for shepherds that have, amen, the desire of a shepherd. Amen. Thank God for men that care more about, amen, the goodness of God, amen, and the welfare of God's people than they do their own personal welfare. Amen. We've got to love this more than we love anything. More than we love houses and land. More than we love material things. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't love me, amen, more than you love your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, amen, you're not worthy of me. We can't allow anything in this world to stand between us, amen, and the blessings of God. God wants to bless His house. God wants to bless His people. God wants, amen, to enable us, amen, to take possession of His promises, amen. But we've got to believe God. Moses began to intercede. He said, God, he said, not so. He said, if you're going to destroy them, then just blot my name out of the book of life. Moses knew something about God. He knew God wasn't going to do that. No, Moses, I'm not going to blot your name out. And God repented of the evil that He had determined upon the children of Israel because Moses was willing to stand in the gap. Oh God, help us today that men and women would stand in the gap. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish. Amen. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody, amen, to be in need. But God wants to pour out a blessing upon us that we're not even able to contain. But we got to be willing to believe the words of God, to stand upon His promises. God has a plan, and God has got a purpose for His people. We've been numbered as the children of God. Can you say praise the Lord? God put a death sentence upon Israel. He didn't destroy them right then. But He said, all of the men of this generation are going to die. Amen. Moses interceded for them. But sometimes even intercession is not enough. Sometimes even the prayer of a prophet of God is not enough. Amen. To assuage, amen, the judgment of God. God said, I'm not going to destroy them here and now. But He said, this entire generation, every man 20 years old and upward, is going to die in the wilderness, and they will never enter the promises that I have made. And oh, how that they, many of them were stricken. Many of them were struck to the heart when they heard, amen, the judgment of God, that they were under a death sentence. And so they said, we'll go in and we'll take the land ourselves. Amen. You can never do, amen, by yourself what you can do with the help of God. You'll never be able to accomplish the plan and the purpose of God to give revival, amen, by your own ability. Amen. If God's not with you, amen, you might as well be alone. They went in and they fought. And the Bible says that they were smitten by the sword. That thousands of men died needlessly. Amen. Because they were trying to do it in the flesh. We'll never be able to accomplish, amen, the things that God has commanded us to do in our flesh until we begin to find the prayer room. We begin to find the altar. We begin to make a consecration into God in our homes and among our families. We'll never have the fire of God in the midst of our people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If God doesn't build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. It was a futile attempt. Shortly after that, it's amazing. Amen. When people get out of God's will. Amen. The same prophet Moses who had interceded on behalf of that congregation found himself in the crosshairs of their contempt. He was willing to have his name stricken out of the book of life in order to preserve the people. But there arose up a rebellion amongst the people. A man named Korah said, who does this Moses think he is? That he's the only one that God can speak to. And so Korah and Abiram and a man by the name of Dathan, they rose up in triplicate against the man of God. Amen. And we know the story. Amen. How God separated Israel from Nathan and Abiram, or Dathan and Abiram and Korah. And God caused the earth to open its mouth and swallow them up. And God said, "This is my servant Moses, in whom I have put my spirit, and you're to follow him." Can you say praise the Lord? God has men that he puts his anointing upon and he puts his blessing upon. And if we try to find someone else, amen, that we're going against the plan and the purpose and the will of Almighty God. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. And then just before the second census, Israel fell into the sin of Baal Peor. The Bible tells us that there was a prophet by the name of Balaam. God said, "Don't go down there, Balaam, because I'm not going to be with you." Amen. I will not give you my blessing to go down there and to curse the children of God. I want you to know, anyone that's fighting against the people of God, they're fighting against God. Anyone that raises their hand against the house of God, amen, is shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God. Amen. We're not, amen, we can't separate, amen, God from his people. Amen. We cannot touch those that belong to God. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? A hallelujah. Praise God. And so, amen, Balaam went down there to curse, but God didn't do anything but put blessing in his mouth. And instead of a curse, they wanted to curse, but instead there was a blessing. And since he couldn't say anything, amen, that would bring a curse, he said, I tell you how you can stop the children of Israel. He said, "You take some of these beautiful women and use them to seduce the men of Israel to go in and commit all kinds of lewd acts. And they use the priestesses. They use the harlots of their idolatrous religion to ensnare the people of God. And they went after them to their own destruction." And when God saw the evil that Israel committed, God was wroth. God was angry. And he told the people of God, he said, "I want you to go and I want you to kill every man, amen, that has polluted my name in the midst of these people." I want you to know God's a holy God. You cannot, amen, forsake the way of holiness and expect the blessings of God, amen, to give you revival. And they began to smite them down. The Bible says they killed 23,000 in one day. 24,000 in total. Because they transgressed in the sin of Baal Peor. There was one young lady by the name of Cosby that was so perverse that her and her lover went down to the door of the tabernacle in the presence of Moses and all of the elders of Israel. And they did things that were vile and lewd in the presence of all that were gathered there. And God's anger was so stirred up that one of the priests took a javelin and he thrust them both through, both Cosby and her lover, and he put away the sin of Baal Peor. Now, why did we go through all that? Because this is what led to the second census. This is when God said to Moses, "Now I want you to number my people." Not everyone that claims to be a child of God is a child of God. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter into the kingdom of God. But I want you to know that God knows them that are His. God said, "Now I want you to number Israel again." The first time that Israel was numbered, there were 603,550. But when God numbered them after the sin of Baal Peor, there were only 601,730. Now that's 38 years later, there were fewer than there were before. Why? Was that the will of God? No, but I want you to know that sometimes people, amen, can hinder the purpose of God. Many died because of war. Others died because of gluttony. Others died because of rebellion against the man of God. Some were bitten by poisonous vipers in the wilderness, and many other judgments of God. And 24,000 died because of the sin of Baal Peor. But God said, "I want you to number these." And the Lord counted these. And He said, "Now, amen, it's time to go in." Because the Scripture says, and I want to go back there just briefly. Amen. The Lord said in Deuteronomy, He said, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. But oh, I like this verse. But you who held fast." Everybody say, "Held fast." "But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you." 38 years later, every one of them that had held fast to God were still alive that day. Well, hallelujah. And I know two men that though they were a little bit long in the tooth, that they were still alive before the Lord, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Oh, because they never lacked a vision. They never doubted the Word of God. I want you to know it may be, amen, not happen when you want it to happen. It may not happen when you expect it to happen. But if you'll keep trusting and you'll keep believing, amen, God is faithful. His Word will not return unto Him void. God's Word will accomplish what He has sent it to accomplish. God will give revival in the midst of His people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It is a privilege to be numbered among the redeemed. But I want you to know that when you're counted with the people of God, there becomes an accountability to God. The Bible tells us, and very briefly, David one time decided to take a census. There was nothing wrong with counting God's people. In fact, many times God commanded, amen, Israel to be counted. But there was something wrong with David's motivation. Amen. When your motivation for numbers, amen, is so that you can boast of your own strength. When you can want to take personal credit, amen, for something that God has done. Amen. It's wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe God would like to have a church, amen, in Athens, Texas, amen, that was greater in number than anything we've ever seen. be it 500, be it 1,000, 1,500, 2,000. I don't know what the limit, amen, that God has placed upon the church in Athens. But I don't believe we've reached it yet. I don't believe we've had the kind of revival that God would give us if we would call upon His name, if we had a vision like Caleb and Joshua had. Come on. The Bible says that David decided to number the people. But there was one thing wrong with David's motivation. Amen. It was done out of pride. Amen. David didn't need to lean upon his flesh. Amen. We don't need to lean upon numbers. Amen. Numbers is not what is important to God. God can save by many or God can save a few. Like he told one pastor, Pastor Gideon, he said, "You got too many." Amen. God isn't interested in attracting a crowd as much as He is, amen, building a church. Can you say praise the Lord? Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. God's interested in building something that's going to last. That's going to stand. And so David numbered the people. And God allowed David his folly. Because Israel had become wayward. Israel had forsaken the covenant of the Lord. And so God allowed David's folly in order that God could bring judgment upon the children of Israel. You know, sometimes God will allow someone, amen, to err in order that God can step in, amen, and take action. Amen. God was displeased with Israel, the Bible says. But He allowed, amen, David, amen, his folly. And they numbered the people. But they had long ago, they had forgotten the covenant. We better never forget the covenant, amen, that God made with His church. Amen. God made a covenant with you. Hallelujah, you better hold to that covenant. You better be faithful to God. Amen. In everything that you do, in everything that you are, not bring, amen, shame upon the name of Jesus. The Bible said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You made a covenant with God. Hallelujah. We made a covenant with God when we came to Jesus Christ. Amen. We made a vow to God that we were going to serve Him, that we were going to bless Him, that we were going to walk in His Word. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. And so David numbered the people. But they forgot to redeem themselves with the half shekel of the sanctuary. Amen. And you can read it some other time. We don't have time to go into it because I'm closing. But if you'll look at Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16, God commanded that the people should pay a half shekel of the sanctuary for the care of the sanctuary of God every time a census was to be taken, that it was going to come with a cost. When you're numbered with the people of God, I want you to know there's a cost. You're a child of God. Amen. You're purchased with the blood of Jesus. But you have an obligation to God. And God forbid that if you don't keep that obligation, they neglected to pay the half shekel of the sanctuary that the law of God required. And so the Bible says that God, amen, sent a plague in Israel. And 70,000, not 24,000, but 70,000 died in Israel because of the census that David had made in his folly. 70,000 people died because they forgot the covenant that God had called them to set them apart. And the Bible says that there was an angel with a sword drawn. Amen. God sent to the city of Jerusalem. And David said, what's this, Lord? And God said, I've sent this angel to destroy the city of Jerusalem. I don't know how big Jerusalem was, but it was a great city even in that day. God sent an angel with a sword, and God said, I'm going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And once again, thank God for intercessory prayer. Amen. Like Moses, amen, before him, David began to make an intercession unto God. He began to ask God, God, amen, this is my fault. I'm the one that authorized this census. I'm the one that numbered the people. These people are innocent. He said, God, let the judgment, let the curse fall upon me and upon my seed. But God said, no, David, I'm not going to bring this judgment upon you or your house. But because the people have forsaken my way, they have denied my covenant. He said, I am going to bring judgment, but I'm not going to destroy Jerusalem. But he said, this is what I am going to do. He said, I'm going to give you three choices. 1 Chronicles 21:12, these are the three choices that God gave David. He said, David, he said, you can choose 3 years of famine, 3 months of defeat at the hands of your enemies, or he said, 3 days of the sword of the Lord. And David said, I will put myself in the hands of God. And for 3 days, God went amongst the people and slew them by the thousands of thousands because they had broken the covenant that he had made. David interceded. God said, David, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to build an altar. And David went to a place where there the threshing wheat, and the man that owned that threshing floor was a man by the name of Ornan. And he said, Ornan, he said, I need this place to build an altar to God. And Ornan said, well, you can take this threshing floor and the oxen and everything that pertains to it, and I'm just going to give it to the Lord. I'm going to donate it. And David said, no, you're not. He said, because I'm not going to ever offer anything to God that doesn't cost me something. You want to have revival? It's going to cost. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some personal sacrifice. It's going to take some commitment. It's going to take adhering to the commandments of God. But if you're willing, that God is able, if you'll say yes, God will pour out upon you the blessings of heaven. The Bible says that David paid 600 shekels of gold. And he made an altar to the Lord. And he prepared the sacrifice. And he began to intercede to God. And the Bible says that God answered David's prayer by allowing fire to come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice. If you want the fire of God, if you want the approval of God, if you want the blessings of God, remember, you've been numbered. There's an obligation that you've got if you're a child of God. If you're among the number of the redeemed, amen, you need to remember the sanctuary. You need to remember your commitment to the house of God. They had an obligation to pay, and they refused to give what rightfully belonged unto God. I want you to know, if you withhold worship from God, you're going to pay. If you withhold, amen, your faithfulness to God, you're going to pay. If you withhold your praise unto God, you're going to pay. If you withhold anything that belongs to God, amen, you're not going to enjoy His blessings, but you're going to enjoy His curse. Because God cannot go against what is written in His Word. Could you stand? Hallelujah. Oh, let's pray the blessings of God today upon this house. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we pray today, God, that You would answer by fire from heaven. We are Your children. We're called by Your name. Lord, let us be faithful to Your house. Let us be faithful to uphold your word. And we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. If there's anyone that needs to come today, these altars are open. Amen. We invite you to come. We're going to turn the service at this time to our pastor, Brother Grissom. God bless.